Becatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Becatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Today, well, we're really taking a look at something foundational, something critical to, you know, the modern economy. But it often gets pushed aside, treated like some kind of bureaucratic chore. We're talking about intellectual property, or IP.
Exactly. And we're diving deep into John Palfrey's really essential work, Intellectual Property Strategy. Our goal here, our mission, is to completely shift how you think about IP. It's not just defensive paperwork anymore. It's a core strategic tool, maybe even a weapon in your business arsenal.
You really have to get this shift because the numbers Palfrey highlights, they're just, well, stunning. Think about this huge change. Back in the 1970s, if you looked at the S&P 500, something like, what, over 80% of their value was tied up in physical stuff.
Yeah, tangible assets, factories, equipment, land, things you could touch.
Right. But fast forward to today, and it's completely flipped. Intangible assets, IP, like ideas, brands, patents, code, algorithms, that now makes up over 80% of the S&P 500's market value. 80%.
So if your business isn't actively thinking about and managing that 80%,
you're missing the game, pretty much the entire game.
It's not just for the legal department anymore. This is a boardroom conversation,
yeah.
A C-suite issue. And the tension Palfrey really brings out is moving that mindset, you know, from being passive, maybe a bit fearful about compliance,
to being proactive,
yeah.
Strategic. You have to stop seeing IP as just this expensive fence you have to build.
And start seeing it as what? A launch pad. For growth.
Exactly.
Right.
A launchpad for future value. And Palfrey is honestly the perfect guide for making that pivot. He brings this really unique view, bridging high-level legal theory with practical, mission-driven strategy.
I agree. He's not just some academic in an ivory tower, though he's certainly got the credentials. Renowned legal scholar, author of important books like Born Digital.
And he's currently the president of the MacArthur Foundation. So he's running a major organization. He's operational.
That operational side feels really key. He was also a professor at Harvard Law, co-founded the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society.
Right. So he saw firsthand how the digital age, you know, with copying becoming basically free, just shattered traditional IP approaches. The old rules weren't working anymore.
So he's not stuck in that old mindset of just like aggressive lawsuits and locking everything down.
Not at all. His experience running foundations, dealing with nonprofits, it gives him this much broader perspective. His insights apply whether you're a huge corporation, a tiny startup, a university trying to share knowledge, or even an individual artist.
He sounds like a, what did the summary call him, a strategic pragmatist.
That's a great way to put it. He gets that protection is needed, right, to incentivize people to invent and create. But he also really understands the incredible power of openness, of strategic sharing.
So it's about finding that balance.
Precisely. Balancing the need to protect assets with the strategic power you get from, say, contributing to open source or using licenses to build communities and platforms.
Okay, let's unpack the book itself then. Palfrey frames intellectual property strategy less like a dense legal text and more like a handbook, right?
Yeah, exactly. A handbook for managers, entrepreneurs, creators, policymakers. Its core job is to demystify those four main types of IP patents, copyrights, trademarks, trade secrets, and then immediately push you into thinking strategically about them.
And the central idea, the big takeaway, is that IP strategy isn't black and white. It's not all protection or all open.
It's a spectrum. That's the vital concept. The real challenge is navigating this spectrum, knowing when to lock things down tight, enforce your rights aggressively.
And when it actually makes more sense strategically to share or license or use something like Creative Commons to maybe build a bigger market or foster innovation.
That's the core tension. And the book is structured to walk you through that thinking process.
It starts with the foundations, those four pillars, but treats them more like levers you can pull, not just definitions to memorize.
Exactly. Levers in your strategic toolkit. And the absolute key threaded through the whole book is alignment. Your IP choices must align with your organization's overall mission and goals.
Can you give an example of that alignment?
Sure. Think about a university. Its mission is typically about creating and spreading knowledge. Right. So a strategy of maximum secrecy, locking everything down, would actually contradict its core purpose.
Whereas a defense contractor.
Completely different mission. Maximum secrecy and control are probably paramount. Misalignment is just
Well, it's a recipe for wasting resources and missing opportunities.
Okay, so let's look at those levers, those four pillars, but strategically, like you said, how do they fit into this alignment thinking?
Okay, take patents. Strategically, what does a patent give you? A temporary monopoly, maybe 20 years, on your invention, a process, a machine, whatever.
But the trade-off is disclosure. You have to publicly explain how it works. And that's a huge strategic consideration. If your product life cycle is only, say, 5 years, does that 20-year protection matter as much as the fact that competitors can immediately start studying your disclosed patent and designing around it? Maybe not.
Interesting. What about copyright?
Copyright protects the expression of an idea. Think code, music, writing, films. Protection is automatic once you create it. Strategically, especially in the digital world, the big questions often revolve around fair use and deciding how much access you allow versus how much you restrict.
Okay. Trademarks. Seems straightforward. Logos, brand names.
Yeah. Protecting brand identity, preventing consumer confusion. But strategically, the trademark can often be the single most valuable piece of IP. It protects all the goodwill and reputation you've built. Think of iconic brands and recognition is priceless.
And the last one, trade secrets, the secret formula type stuff.
Exactly. Confidential info that's valuable because it's secret, like the Coca-Cola formula or Google's search algorithm. The strategic appeal is huge. No expiration date like a patent.
But the risk?
Immense. If the secret gets out, legitimately not stolen, but independently discovered or leaked, the protection just vanishes. Poof. Gone. It's a high-stakes, strategic choice.
Okay, dealing with four different legal things, each with its own rules and trade-off. It sounds complex. How does Palfrey help simplify the decision-making?
He gives us this core framework, this way of thinking about the choices. He calls it the strategy spectrum. This is really central to the book.
Right, the spectrum. So what are the ends of that spectrum?
Well, at one end, you've got the proprietary end. Think maximum control, aggressive patenting, maybe lots of litigation to enforce those rights. You often see this in industries with huge upfront R&D costs, like pharmaceuticals or maybe complex hardware. They need to recoup that investment.
Makes sense. But locking everything down can limit how widely something gets adopted, right?
Exactly. Which brings us to the other end, the open end. This isn't about neglecting IP. It's a deliberate strategic choice to give up some control. Why? To encourage collaboration, speed up adoption, maybe build a platform everyone uses.
Like open source software, Linux is a classic example.
Perfect example. Mm-hmm. Or academics using Creative Commons licenses to share research widely. It's a strategy, not an accident.
So proprietary at one end, open at the other. But you said most value is somewhere else.
Yeah, Palfrey argues, and I think he's absolutely right, that for most organizations, the real strategic sweet spot is in the hybrid middle. This is where it gets nuanced. It's about making conscious, mixed choices, protecting some things, sharing others.
Can you give examples of that hybrid middle? It's a bit hard to picture protecting and sharing at the same time.
It takes many forms. Maybe strategic licensing, letting another company use your tech, but only in a market you're not in, or joining defensive patent pools.
What are those?
It's where a group of companies agree to cross-license certain patents to each other. The main goal isn't usually to make money directly from the licenses, but to ensure that everyone in the pool has the freedom to operate without constantly suing each other over those specific patents.
Ah, freedom to operate. That sounds important, especially for new companies.
It's critical. It basically means doing your research before you launch, to make sure your product or service doesn't inadvertently step on someone else's existing patent rights. You need to know the landscape.
Okay. Any other hybrid examples?
The freemium business model is a great one we see all the time. Offer a basic version of your software for free. That's the open-end strategy. Build a massive user base.
And then sell premium features or enterprise versions.
Exactly. Those premium layers are proprietary, protected, high margin. So you use openness to attract users and build the market, and proprietary control to capture value. It's a classic hybrid play.
And Palfrey emphasizes this isn't a one-time decision, right? You can't just set your IP strategy and forget it.
Absolutely not. He talks quite a bit about competitive intelligence. You have to be constantly watching what competitors are doing with their IP. What patents are they filing? What trademarks? You need to analyze the landscape and continually reassess your own freedom to operate.
Because a static strategy just gets left behind.
Instantly obsolete, especially with how fast technology changes.
Which brings us to digital disruption. Palfrey really digs into how the internet just blew up old copyright models, didn't it?
Completely. When the cost of making perfect digital copies dropped to near zero, the friction disappeared. Suddenly, the only thing stopping infinite, costless replication was the law itself. That fundamentally changed the game for music, film, software, everything.
Is that where things like Creative Commons came in as a response?
Precisely. Creative Commons licenses offered a flexible alternative, a way for creators to say, okay, I want to share this, but under certain conditions. It's that some rights reserved idea, allowing strategic sharing to build community or reach, while maybe keeping commercial rights locked down. It's IP strategy for the digital age.
And looking forward, Palfrey touches on how new tech is throwing up even more challenges.
Yeah, things like AI, biotech, blockchain, they create entirely new types of innovations that need protection, but they also strain the old legal frameworks.
Like, who owns the copyright to something created by an AI?
Exactly. That's a huge question. It forces us to constantly adapt our IP strategies. The game keeps changing.
Okay, so this is a really rich, complex picture. Let's try to distill it. What are the absolute core messages, the main takeaways Palfrey wants us to remember?
I think there are four big ones. First, IP is strategy, not just law. It has to move out of the legal basement and into the boardroom. It needs to be tied directly to your business goals, competition, and growth plans. If it's just seen as a cost center, you're doing it wrong.
Okay, IP is strategy. What's second?
Alignment with mission and goals. We keep hitting this, but it's crucial. Your IP choices, protect, share, license, must directly reflect why your organization exists. A university shares knowledge. A pharma company needs exclusivity to fund R&D. Get the alignment wrong, and you waste time and money.
Right, alignment. Third theme.
Value creation beyond protection. Don't just build fences around your IP. Think of it like a garden. You need to tend it, cultivate it, and importantly, harvest it. Actively look for ways to monetize through licensing, partnerships, maybe even IP-backed financing. Make the assets work for you.
Makes sense. Treat it like an active asset. And the last one.
Openness is a strategic choice, not the absence of strategy. This is so important. Choosing not to enforce all your rights, deciding to contribute to open source or use open licenses, that's not weakness. It can be an incredibly powerful strategic move to build platforms, set standards, or create ecosystems that ultimately generate more value than hoarding the IP would have.
These themes really reframe the whole conversation. Palfrey also has some memorable ways of putting these ideas, doesn't he?
Yeah, some great concise framings.
One that jumped out at me was about the shift in focus. Something like, in the knowledge economy, IP isn't just about protection. It's about strategic positioning for future value creation. Yeah. It really changes the purpose of IP management.
That nails it. And reinforcing the idea that openness is strategic. Choosing to place your creation in the commons is as much an intellectual property strategy as filing for a patent. It gives strategic weight to sharing.
Yeah, I like that. And for anyone thinking about competitors, there was one about intelligence.
Oh, yeah. Understanding your competitors' IP strategies is as important as understanding their business strategies. Often, they're the same thing. It tells you where they're placing their bets.
So true. Okay, let's make this really practical for people listening. How can someone, an entrepreneur, a manager, maybe an artist, actually apply this thinking, like, tomorrow?
Okay, for a startup founder,
yeah.
Before you even finalize your product, do that freedom to operate search. Seriously. Know the patent landscape and be smart with your limited cash. Maybe, just maybe, investing heavily in a strong trademark early on, combined with keeping your core algorithm a trade secret, is a better initial move than blowing the budget on an expensive utility patent right away. A clear IP plan is vital for getting funding, investors will ask.
Good point. What about a bigger company example? You mentioned the hybrid middle.
IBM is a fascinating case study of a hybrid strategy pivot. They always had and still have a massive patent portfolio. Very proprietary, used for defense, cross-licensing, revenue.
But they also became huge champions of Linux, right?
Yeah.
Open
source. Exactly. They strategically embraced openness at the operating system level. Why?
Yeah.
It helped commoditize that layer, weakening competitors who sold proprietary OCs.
Which then let IBM focus on selling.
Their high-margin proprietary software, hardware, and especially services built on top of that now commoditized open platform. They used openness to reshape the market and proprietary control to capture profits elsewhere. That's the spectrum in action.
Very clever. And for individual creators, artists, musicians, writers.
Understand your licensing options. Use Palfrey's framework. If you want wide reach and community building, maybe a Creative Commons license that allows non-commercial sharing is perfect. You can still reserve the commercial rights for yourself. It lets you define how your work is used and valued.
It's about taking control, making conscious choices.
Absolutely. So wrapping up, what was the biggest surprise or takeaway for you from diving into Palfrey's work?
For me, it really was that fundamental paradigm shift he pushes for, moving away from seeing IP as this scary, complex legal minefield you have to navigate defensively, and towards viewing it proactively as this powerful toolkit you can use strategically to position yourself, create value, and achieve your goals. It feels empowering.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, the most lasting insight is reinforcing that alignment point. There's no single right IP strategy out there. The only right strategy is the one that perfectly fits your specific mission and goals in your current market context. And crucially, it has to be flexible, ready to adapt as technology and the competitive landscape inevitably change. You've got to keep asking, what do we protect, what do we share, and why?
It's about making those deliberate, informed, strategic choices constantly. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.